The Hideous Creature Show.
And for some Christians, the end is May 21st, 2011. According to their biblical calculations, that's when a massive earthquake will send the world into turmoil, leading to its ultimate demise on October 21st. Some of those members are so convinced that doomsday is upon us, they've left their homes, their jobs, their families, to travel the country and warn people that the end is near.
We traveled to as many states as possible to proclaim the fact that May 21st, 2011 is the day of the Lord's return. When we caravan, we see people that give us the thumb. They say thumbs up. We also see people that unfortunately give us the other finger.
The end is near. Coming to you from the City of Roses, Portland, Oregon, inside Tutuatu, a.k.a. the Brooklyn Zoo, via the internet. The date is Saturday, May 21st, 2011, and I'm one of your hosts, and my name is June.
And I'm another one of your hosts, and my name is Patrick.
And this is the Hideous Creature Show, episode number 69. Thank you, everybody, for coming along and playing fake radio with us on the internet, on the day of the apocalypse.
Yeah, we're all going to die.
The sun came out, man. This is it. This is the afterlife. Mm. We're stuck with this shit. So I have a fun thing about the apocalypse, which has nothing to do with the apocalypse.
What is it?
This is about sunshine in Portland, Oregon. That's basically apocalyptic.
Yeah, it never happens.
Well, what happens is everybody runs out of their house and they go into the streets and enjoy the sunshine. Because we only get a couple months of it here.
Yeah, and it's early this year. We should still be in rain. It doesn't really happen until like last week of June, like
really?
This weather, the week that we just had. Yeah, you might get like a few days, but we had like a week straight of it.
Maybe I was thinking of a preemptive sun strike or something like that, where I don't know. I've just noticed that the sun has been out and it's been really nice.
It's been warm. Yep. And the nights have been great. Yeah, it usually happens a little bit later.
I've also noticed that I did a little mathematical equation. And that is
look at you.
Sun equals bicyclists. Portland is very bike enthusiastic. And
which
so
is a great thing.
Right, it's not bad. I ride a bike when I can. I drive my car a lot more lately though, because I like to put stuff in the trunk.
Right. You don't have a trunk in your bike.
Right. So sun equals bicyclists equals Tour de Francers. And listeners, you know who Tour de France is. Anybody that doesn't know, a Tour de Francer is somebody that I call that is wearing all the bike gear, looking like they're in the Tour de France, but they're just going to fucking Safeway to get eggs.
They spent $100 on a shirt that they could be quote-unquote sponsored by.
Right. And this is all due to the fact that I'm jealous that their bike costs more than my car.
That's true. That's a very good point.
Their outfit costs more than my outfit that I wear on a regular basis.
Their shoes definitely cost more than your car. Right. You could buy your car for like a song on a lark.
Mm-hmm.
You could do it.
Very much so. So
a piece of like old Adidas, you could do it.
Oh, man. It's just, I think it's the most stupid thing in the world. I understand like being comfortable doing whatever you're doing, but we're living in a society right now where if you're doing something, you have to dress appropriate for whatever activity you're doing.
Right.
It's not like you're wearing shorts because you're going swimming. I'm riding a bicycle, so therefore I have to look like Lance Armstrong.
Exactly. I have to get that fucking weird ass, like, backwards helmet. Like that fucking triangle cube pyramid helmet in the back and put the fucking little glasses on.
Yeah, and that, and what's fucked up is that they have, the Tour de Francers, have all the patches like they're sponsored by whatever group that they bought the fucking article of clothing from.
And they just,
which drives me apeshit. I fucking hate that.
They just
hate
bought
it
at You're a Fucking Chump Bike Shop.
Yeah, for $100 fucking.
Yeah, exactly.
Eat a bag of dicks.
The U.S. Postal Service people are the people I love the most. They're like, I got the U.S. Postal Service. Actually, you spent money for that. I think that's how the U.S. Postal Service makes most of its money.
Mm-hmm. But this kind of goes into, I was thinking, watching all the cyclists and stuff, and I was thinking, last week we did How Do You Know You're Old?
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, how do you know you're old? Is because my broken foot is still a little jacked. It's gotten a lot better. But my exercises, I jog or skip rope, and I can't
because
my foot's fucked up. And I realized, wait a minute, I can ride my bike. And so I get on my bike, I, you know, pump up the tires. It's been sitting in the basement for a little bit.
Dusted
off. And then get on it, and I'm like, okay, there's this really cool bike path in Portland called the Esplanade.
Oh, I've seen signs for that around your house when I walk by it.
Yeah, it's like this super, it's a really nice bike path, and it's right along the river over here. And one of them goes over to this shitty amusement park that I love.
Oaks Park. That's not shitty.
And so
it scared the shit out of nine-year-olds.
Yeah, it does, because the reason why it's scary, the rides are scary, is because it could break and fall on you.
Well, they were on the bumper cars.
they were in the bathroom. So I rode my bike down the path that goes over to Oaks Park.
That's a little bit of a trek, though, isn't it?
I'm an athlete.
What were you wearing? Did you have your little fucking yellow bracelet on when you were doing it?
I was wearing, I dress like an action figure.
That's true.
I have one thing of clothing that I just wear every day. I have
true.
And by the way, I got my new T-shirts.
You told me that. Why don't you tell the listeners? June supposedly, like, I guess once every year, maybe in the spring.
Once every 2 years or so.
Once every 2 years, you bulk order a bunch of the same black T-shirts, and you got a deal on them this year, and then you just put them on.
Right. So I get, like...
You're like Jeff Goldblum in The Fly.
Yeah. Well,
You completely are.
Well, when I was a kid, I always played with the action figures, and they always dressed the same, and, right. You know...
You're living the dream.
I just... Yeah. I'm becoming feral because I don't have a counterpart to correct me on my shortcomings.
Yeah, but that's what's going to happen. You're going to get a counterpart, and Jenny and I are going to, like, come to show up to do the show, and you're going to be wearing, like, this weird kind of, like, reflective shirt, and Jenny and I are going to look at each other and go, she's got to go. And she's going to be like, don't you think he looks nice? And Jenny and I are going to be like, yeah, he looks great.
No.
She's got to go, dude.
No. I will never bend on my shitty clothing. Just
it's not
choices.
Shitty. You're wearing a black T-shirt and a pair of jeans.
Right.
How shitty is that?
And that's what I rode my bike in.
It matches anything.
So I decided to ride it because, you know, do my bike ride early because I don't want to see any douchebags out and about.
They come out after noon.
No, they come out after 10. So I tried to get on the bike path about maybe 9:30. And it's, you know, it's a good ride, but it's all flat. It's not, you don't have to be a superhero to make it there and back.
You do. You dress like one.
Oh, dude, I felt like I was a superhero when I got back. I was like, oh, did you hear about my bike ride? I was bragging to all my friends. Jesus. So what I noticed was that there was more, there were more homeless people on the bike path than there were cyclists and runners and stuff. So when it's basically from my house to where I went on the bike path, and then I just turned around and came home. People are living in the woods that are along the bike path, and they all have like their Mad Max bicycles with all their gear on it, and their dog with a bandana.
The fucking bandana.
Okay.
I don't understand the bandana.
We talked about this a little bit before, Patrick.
Yeah, it was just a question I had. Like, why? Why, if, when you see a homeless person, does the dog always have a fucking bandana on? Like, it's always around their neck.
It is totally.
They look like a cowboy from like 1872.
You know what it is?
What?
It's their fucking Tour de France outfit for the dog.
Everybody
has to have their little stupid outfit for whatever they're fucking doing. It's anthropomorphism at its worst.
I want you to get a kitty chiff to put around Mingus, like blue. Just tie it around him.
Oh, that's fucking terrible. Anyway. Yeah.
It's bad. They all have them. Why?
I have no idea. And this is actually bugging the fuck out of me because... I don't know if I like it or if I don't like it or if I'm indifferent about it.
It looks cute, but you don't see... When people have, like, golden retrievers, you don't see... Like, when you show up at their house, if you live in a house, their dogs don't have that.
Right, and it's always that ratty dog that looks like that Mad Max dog.
Yes, like a dingo. Like, it's right. Like a little bit of a hyena blood in there. It's going to fucking bite your leg off and give you rabies.
It's a little feral.
Yeah, it's a little bit of that.
It knows how to start a fucking Dodge Charger.
So, but they're all hanging out in the woods?
Yeah, so I'm riding my bike through the Esplanade. Actually, I don't know if that's Esplanade. It's just a bike path, whatever the fuck it is. And out of the woodwork, literally, out of all the woods area there, there's all these homeless people coming out of their area, and they all have the same bicycles, excuse me, that are encumbered,
with their trash bags.
With their tents, their shit, and then their dog with the bandana on it, and they were everywhere.
They're the real
I think
road
I counted
warriors.
Like 25 of them, and this was like maybe, 3.5 miles there, maybe 3 miles there, 3 miles back. And there was tons of them, and I'm just going, son of a bitch. And they're also sitting on all the benches on the way there. Right. Well, I don't, is that bad? No, did I give a shit about that?
This is observational comments.
I mean, I'm not sitting on the bench, but I'm still like kind of pissed off. I'm not pissed off. I'm just going, man.
Well, you notice. Well,
they're
nice,
utilizing the space, I guess, which
and
is
it's a
good.
Nice. It was a nice night last. Well, it rained a little bit, but it was a nice night. So they were sleeping out in the park in their tents instead of like going to shelter. So I guess they're a little bit more self-sufficient.
Well, and I think that
maybe that's what the bandana's for, to keep the dog's head like kind of dry. They just tuck it up over.
I think because they're all have the same inbred fucking mutt that they have different color bandanas on their neck so they can identify what's their dog.
They treat their dogs like Arabs treat their women. They just
jamboree.
Cover them up. Yeah, in the
their
rain.
Wood jamboree at night.
And their box, the cigar box banjos.
Anyway, blah, blah, blah. I thought it was pretty crazy. I didn't know that there were people living in the woods on the bike path. So anyway, on the show today, Jenny is not here. BT got a little sick, and she's taking care of her man.
What happened with that?
He had some minor surgery that he went in for, and the drugs they gave him to combat whatever the recovery process, he kind of took weird, so he got stuck in the hospital.
That sucks.
So BT, we're hoping you a rapid recovery, and Jenny, you stand by your man.
BT, get a fucking sponge bath. Just do it. Get a sponge bath.
I think she gives sponge baths for free.
Who does?
Gives them to BT. Jenny does.
Jenny does. I want Jenny to be watching BT get a sponge bath from said nurse. We'll call her Margaret.
Mm.
Yeah, Margaret's from Des Moines, Iowa.
No, Margaret's from.
She has a red kind of strawberry blonde hair.
Margaret's from the North Pole. Ex-elf gone. Candy striper.
You want to see some Margaret action back in the hotel room?
Mm-hmm. So. Some of the stuff we're going to get to on the show, we have our topic of the week. We have last week's winners for our douchebags. We have a whole new slew of douchebags for episode 96. And I have to say a super special thanks to SF Dave, which provided
Thanks, Dave.
All this stuff. He's been writing in for a long time now, and we have a bunch of stuff stored up in case of emergency. And because Jenny's not here and we didn't know about it till the last minute, we kind of were shooting from the hip on this episode.
That's very polite for you to say that, Pat, you didn't do the fucking madness this week. Thanks, June. And thanks for Dave for setting this.
Well, you didn't.
But that's why we have it, and Dave knows that.
Thank you, SF Dave. So I was wondering, Patrick, maybe we get a movie madness off you.
Here's number one.
I tell you what's on my mind. It's butt cold out here, and I'm fresh out of beer.
I don't know it.
No idea. Do you want to hear two?
Oh, excuse me. I was having a nice chilled glass of Tisdale, a Chardonnay.
Where is it from?
Calabama. Okay.
No.
Let's just move on.
I'm gonna play H.G. another.
H.G. Wells. That's all I'm saying.
I'm gonna play another movie's madness.
Okay.
Colder than a witch's titty out there, isn't it?
Oh, I know who that is. That's what's his name. That's Mickey from Rocky, isn't it?
Colder than a
Burgess
witch's
Meredith?
Titty out there. Isn't
that's
it?
Burgess Meredith.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna play another one.
Women and fish, you could never catch either one of them.
I have laid more pipe in this town than Wabashaw.
Got it.
I think I got it, too.
There's two that it could be.
Oh, shit, that was like
they're a franchise.
That was eight, actually. That was supposed to be eight, and I played it. I played it as the third one. I don't know why.
Didn't he? He usually labels them.
No, he numbered it. It's numbered eight, but I played it third.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
SF Dave, you're going to get some hate mail.
He gives me a very good ribbing. In more ways than one, I'll tell you that.
Maybe SF Dave will come up for our listener event that's going to be coming up.
We're having a listener event?
Yeah. Sometime in the near future. Wow. It's going to happen. Anyway.
I want him to come up. We will not pay for his plane ticket, but we will accept gifts.
You could stay at the house. You could stay at the Brooklyn Zoo if you want.
We'll find a place for you to stay, Dave.
So I was also thinking, oh, wait, actually, before we go into this, we play a game here on the Hideous Creature Show called Movie Madness, where Patrick chooses a movie. In this case, SF Dave chooses a movie, and we try to guess what it is by playing movie clips throughout the show. And you, as a listener, can also play along.
And if you're listening to live, like, text us right now and tell us what the movie is, and then you'll go on the little list of smart people.
Patrick's making shit up now.
So what, man? It's Saturday.
Why don't we jump into our topic of the week for episode 96? Okay, so what we decided, because today is the apocalypse, May 21st, the end of days.
Jesus is back.
Is
a big way.
We thought, you know, the rapture is going to be uncomfortable for everybody. But we thought, like, what is the worst way to be uncomfortable besides being unclean, maybe hungry, maybe
hair falling out,
not knowing where the fuck you're going, hair falling out. We decided that eventually, once the apocalypse happens and once the rapture and all, everybody's ascended up to heaven, that I think the worst thing that would suck more than everything in the world would be that you have to hook up with other people in order to survive. And what would be the worst is that if you hooked up with crappy people. Oh. And we've decided who would be the crappiest people to hook up with after the rapture. All right, Patrick, why don't you you go first? We brainstormed some.
Yeah, we did. And I think the first one that would really suck is the that woman who, like, did data processing for like 25 years. She's like in her late 40s. And she never had any friends at all. She didn't have a husband. Maybe she was married but divorced. No one really liked her. But she was the woman in the office who would only talk to her coworkers about what she watched on television last night.
Oh, a TV fiend?
But now that we're in an apocalypse and there's no TV, she would just keep replaying all the shit she's watched.
Oh, so she was, like, traumatized by the fact that there's no TV, so she keeps revisiting it?
Yeah, so she's just like, do you remember when Sanjaya got kicked off American Idol?
What do you think his hair looks like now? Where do you think Sanjaya is now? Is he saved? Did he go up to heaven?
Oh, my God. And she would just talk about, do you remember when what was it, when the dude died in Cheers? And then Woody came in, and you're like,
Do you think Coach is coming back to help fight the bad guys?
I would hate her, because she wouldn't do anything. She would have nothing interesting to say, because you know how that woman is.
Oh, yeah.
All she does is talk about that and her grandchildren, but this woman doesn't have any grandchildren.
See, she's like me, but I talk about my cat.
Right, but you have some interesting things to say about life. She doesn't, because all that she does is she would be sitting there going, Biggest Loser, our show makes me cry. That show makes me cry. And I'd be like, that show made me cry, too. It's not fair. Like, the Biggest Loser, we're all fucking losing. Like, we all have no body mass index fat. We're all skinny as hell. Like, and you're talking about a show that was, like, losing weight. You know what would be the biggest loser? Fucking the apocalypse.
You'd be the biggest winner if you shut the fuck up, Alice.
Oh, I know.
So every reference that she'd make to being, like, in, you know, on the earth still would be reference to television.
To some TV. I remember this one time. Oh, this reminds me of that time the Fonzie jumped a shark. Like, no, actually, he didn't. You've run out
of... No, he did that in real life.
Yeah, I know. No stunt double.
Yeah, that shark eventually went on to Jaws, too. Yeah, you got another one?
I do. I'm going to do this one really quickly, because when you first broached this topic to me, I would hate to deal with conflict resolution guy. The guy who goes, there's no one in the world that I can't talk to, and we can exchange ideas and figure out a solution. Because in this apocalyptic world, we are running around as a roving band trying to survive, and there are other people, but I don't trust those other people.
Oh, no, I don't either.
Because they're out to fucking kill you. They're out to take the shit that's yours. And this guy would be like, oh, there's some people. I see a fire over there. Let's go over and talk to them. And everyone's like, hey, excuse me, Leonard, shut the fuck up.
No,
like,
trust.
We're going away from them. He's like, there's no one we can't talk to. And then he'd be like, and maybe they have some oil for my ponytail. And I'd be like, Leonard, shut the fuck up. We're moving away from them.
Oil for my ponytail.
And then he'd be
Where did you come up with that? That's hilarious.
Leonard definitely has a ponytail.
Oh, that's true.
Sure,
it's braided.
Sure as there is a manager at every single McMinimins that has a ponytail.
Leonard, are you sure you want to wear Birkenstocks? Because we should get you some army boots.
We should get you something that has some footwear. No, it's my toes breathe. No, that's the shit. Like, that guy, I'd be like, I'm done with you. Like, no, I'm done. How about you?
Mine goes on to kind of the same thing, the know-it-all. Somebody that is just a fact burner. There was a guy that at this place I used to work, he used to come in, and we called him the cornucopia of useless knowledge. And what he'd do is, like, every time somebody was talking about something, he had to interject with, like, a fun fact about it. And basically what these people get their information from is they watch a Discovery Channel special on the honey badger or whatever the fuck it is. And now they know everything about it. Like, you want to know what? You know, whales, they live in the ocean.
Yeah.
So I think that would suck because you'd never get a second. You wouldn't get a line in, and it would just be.
He would always be trying to tell you, you don't know as much as me. He'd be
I think the only thing good about having him there is there's no law to prevent me from choking him to death.
Right, because you'd be like, I wonder if these berries are easy to eat. He'd give you the information going, well, the way that the ancient Egyptians found out which berries were good to eat were that the plant leaf grew on the north side. Well, these are just sitting here on the side of the road. They're not growing. Well, we really don't know anything about it. He doesn't actually really know anything.
Right.
But he just wants to comment upon everything.
Exactly. Like, how come the chimneys in these houses are, you know, some of them are broken, some of them aren't? Well, it's because of the masonry back in the 1800s. Fuck off. Just like bury that dude up to his neck and poop on his head.
Glad you survive when you're fucking up to your neck. The only jar of jelly we found, we put on your fucking face so the red ants can eat
and
you.
And another thing about him is that he'd bring up useless knowledge that didn't pertain to like the answer that you wanted. So you're like, are these good berries or bad berries? And he'd tell a story about a bush in Australia that killed a bunch of koala bears.
Mesopotamians usually built their boat by candlelight.
That would suck. You got another one?
This goes along with yours because this goes along with yours, but the I told you so guy.
Oh, yeah.
Because first to start off with everything was going to be, I told you so. This was going to happen.
I told you the apocalypse was going to happen.
I told you this was going to happen. And after that, it was going to be bad. And you were going to be like, hey, should we go north? Maybe north has some water. And then you get there and north doesn't have water. You'd be like, I told you the north didn't have any water. We should have gone south. But if you'd gone south, you'd be like, I told you should have gone west.
Yeah, that's a fuck.
And it's that dude. And you're just like, dude, all right, shut the fuck up. Shut up.
You have to weed your way through the assholes to figure out who you want to travel with.
Oh, my God.
All right, I got one.
How about you?
It's the carbon footprint guy. So the world has ended, and this fuck is still wanting to, like, roll a Prius. And you're like, fuck.
Save the earth?
You're going, we can't drive a Prius. And he goes, it gets better gas mileage. But at the same time, you're like, if it breaks down, there's no fucking way we can fix it. There's no carburetor.
So
I don't know,
like,
what's going
there's
on.
There's fire and brimstone going off of the earth, and he's caring about the carbon footprint of the world.
Going, we have to go to Texas and save all the cows. Fuck off.
That brings... You and I are simpatico with this because this brings up mine. This brings up my what you get a lot in Portland is the greenery local eating person going, is this fruit organic? Which I know if Jenny was here right now, she'd be like, fuck yes, cha-ching.
So a picky eater.
We go and all of a sudden we hit an Albertsons that's actually kind of still like, or a Freddy's or a Safeway that's still kind of intact and there's no roving bands of rapists inside. And all of a sudden, we find all of this shit in there. And they'd be like, we can't have that hamburger helper. And then we find that we go to the produce and some of it's rotted, but the shit that's not rotted are Argentine pears. And she's like, that's not local. We can't eat it. We can't eat that at all. That's wrong. And they're like, well, we should compost this. Like, compost what? We live in a, like, cause I know I would deal with that and go, we're fucking done, baby. We're done.
You gotta go. And also, he'd be going, you can't eat those marshmallows, which are probably the only thing that survived in the grocery store.
And Twinkies.
Because they're made out of horse hooves.
And the Twinkies. Do you know that there's a nuclear reaction inside of a little plastic package? And you're like, who gives a shit? I'm going to live for a day.
What? I only got like 8 days left to live. Who cares? Okay, so you got the picky eater.
Yeah.
What I got is the German cannibal. So you got some dude from Germany. He was an exchange student here or whatever, and he's like into cannibalism.
Just a fad, but so, he hasn't lived out of it.
So he's like going, you know, looking at you like your food. At the same time, you don't really know, but he's like,
he never tells you that. He's like, I used to be an engineer.
He needs a name.
Adrian. Is that one of your roommates?
That's what I'm writing down right now. I'm sorry, Adrian.
I was going to call him Ermin.
Ermin. Adrian, the common cannibal.
He was like, you need to eat more Twinkies to put meat on your bones.
Yeah, and he never really alludes to the fact that he's a cannibal.
No.
He just kind of suggests shit.
He wouldn't eat the vegan food Nazi that we're with because she's all gamey. He would eat me or you.
You should eat Moses, the more of the fluffies. Eat more. More of the marshmallows.
The last person I got that I would hate to be stuck with, because it's kind of like arguing with someone about religion. It's about faith. It would be the person that loves their pets and has to bring their 18 cats or rabbits along with them. We can't leave my babies. We can't leave my babies. And you're like, we got to feed this shit. We got to smell their shit. We got to wake up with shit all over our shit. Their shit on our shit. They're going to be shitting everywhere. And it's like, no, get rid of them. Cut them loose. Let's
move on. Adrian's going to be stoked on that, though. this one meows a lot.
And it could be like cats, or it could be the dude who has like snakes and ferrets.
Oh, so tattooed snake guy.
Who's like, we're bringing Monty. I'm not leaving Monty behind. And who's Monty? My fucking 12-foot python.
Right, and he's got it wrapped around his body, and he's still, you know, he's glistening from oil.
Yeah.
Like, he's taking the apocalypse a little too seriously.
And there's one squirrel left in the world, and no human eats it. Monty eats it. And he's like, good job, Monty. Yeah. Good.
And he pets him.
Yeah.
And he's also got, like, a satchel with two ferrets in it.
Let's look at it.
Kodo and Podo.
Talk about the ferrets.
And they steal keys from important people that we need to break into their, you know, their compound or something like that.
How about you? What do you got?
I got Fire Guy.
What?
Fire Guy. The guy that's he's a reclusive pyromaniac.
So he's an arsonist.
Yeah. So you don't know about it, but every time, like, what happened to that Safeway we were been, you know, getting all our food from for the last 2 weeks? And Fire Guy just kind of going, I don't know.
Or you find shelter.
Something happened to it.
You find shelter. You wake up in the middle of the night with pet lady going, wake up, this place is on fire, save my babies. And you're all like, right. What the fuck happened?
Fire guy's name's Gary.
Gary
the fire guy.
Gary the fire guy?
Yeah.
What? Gary always wanted to be like a pyrotechnic for like a Great White or something?
No. I think that he was just stuck in his apartment watching the internet too much.
Okay.
And eventually, he was a pyromaniac, but he never really got a chance. And now that there's no cops around, he's just burning everything. So you're right. Like, we get a shelter built, and then we all go out to forage for Twinkies and marshmallows, and fucking Gary burns our shelter down.
But Gary's like, I don't know. There was someone must have been smoking a cigarette a couple miles ago.
I don't know, man. It should just burn down. Another one that I have is the grass is always greener guy.
Oh, God. I would punch that guy.
I have not eaten anything delicious in a long time. It could be worse. Fuck you.
I haven't had any food. Oh, my God. I've stopped urinating.
Another one I thought of is eventually when you get a car and the guy, you know, the guy that you get a ride from has it, you know, the only working MP3 player, CD player, whatever, and you're driving. Yeah, you're driving to, I'm assuming, water.
Right.
And he's a music Nazi. He only wants to listen to Till Tuesday. That's the only thing he's got. It reminds me of my friends that are gone.
He's the dude who's like, we're only listening to Metal Machine music by Lou Reed the whole entire way because that record was so underrated.
Right. Another one that I got was a vegan or a vegetarian that is still sticking to their scruples
Yeah.
Whatever. And I was thinking that fucking Adrian's eyeballing that motherfucker. Adrian, the German cannibal, is gonna eat those guys
because they're all organic.
Which is, I don't know exactly. They're dead. You're totally dead. I'd eat people to stay alive. Another one that I have is the religious fanatic that didn't get caught by the rapture. That's just going, I don't understand God.
Okay, what's up? All right, you be you. I'll be him.
Okay.
Oh, things aren't really good for me right now.
Things aren't good for you. I was supposed to be in heaven right now.
Why weren't you in heaven?
Heaven, Jesus, God, please bring me to you. And you have to put him in the trunk.
Yep.
Because he just won't stop. And I think we came to a consensus that the worst person that you'd ever have to travel with after the apocalypse. Patrick?
His name would be Chad, but he would require everyone in the group to call himself and his cape Chad the Magnificent, because he would have been a lifelong amateur magician. And every fucking moment that you were doing, he would use to explain, like, fucking display his skills of legermancy.
Or fucking, like, show his magic.
Show his magic.
What happened to all our fucking cantaloupe, Chad?
I don't know. Maybe it's behind your ear.
Fuck you, Chad.
You get back from a hard day of trying to kill a fucking squirrel, and he's just sitting there going, hey, I had some weevil-infested rice. Where did it go? I don't know. But maybe it's here in this cantaloupe.
Or, you know, the first cage that you find so that you can capture your enemy.
Right.
He's got it broken down so he could do, like, the saw the girl in half thing.
He's trying to do the dead, like, pigeon. Right. And he caught a pigeon and killed it just for his magic trick. You're like, dude, we could have eaten that fucking flying rat.
Don't touch Vance. He's part of my act.
He would have been like, I don't know where that happened, but... Did it come with the Queen of Spades? Was that your card? And you'd be like, dude, you ruined a whole loaf of bread for that trick, motherfucker. Like, he cut it open and burned it, and it went up in that phosphorus, like, magician.
You never want to have anything around that you can eat in numbers, like a 52 numeral, so they couldn't, like, makeshift a deck out of it.
You didn't want to have 52 slices of bread.
Right.
52 papayas.
52 pita.
You didn't, because he'd be etching it. And he'd be like, we need to eat that, Chad, and this is for my act tomorrow. We need entertainment. We need to keep our spirits up. Oh, God, I would not want to be with those
I think
people.
That would be horrible. Yet funny if it was all, if there was unlimited amounts of Vicodin. It'd be pretty good.
I think everyone would just be like, yeah, fucking cool. The one, we were talking about this on the porch earlier, but the one person that I would not want to be stuck with in, like, my foraging group was someone exactly like me, because I am the person who just doesn't know how to make a fire, doesn't know how to hunt, doesn't know how to do anything. I don't wish that upon anyone to be stuck.
You know
me.
What though? I think Patrick, you're very smart. I don't think it's applicable to, you know, the apocalypse smart. But I think that you would find a way spend, like, Patrick 1 could nap while Patrick 2 went out and forage, and then you would switch off nap time.
But all I would sit there and be like, did you know that Jimmy Page was only recording on 3 strings of his guitar on that song? And they'd be like, what? I'd be that guy.
I would feed you information to the German cannibal.
Right.
So if anybody has any ideas of what they would, you know, who they would hate to travel with after today... they should contact us at 503-928-7751 and leave us a message. You can also find us at our webpage? Email at hideouscreatureshow@gmail.com. Patrick, you think we get a movie of madness out of you?
Yeah, it looks like Chuck's taking the skin boat to Tuna Town.
Yep.
Yeah, I know it.
Burgess Meredith.
It's good.
He was funny as hell in that, too.
He was great in that. Did he die shortly afterwards?
He did, very shortly after. He died in the movie, too.
Did he?
Maybe in the second one. There's
a second one?
Yeah.
Was there?
You know what? I just gave that VHS step away today.
I took it
to Goodwill.
If anyone wants to know, come to June's house to get various...
They're gone. I took all the VHS tapes that were on the front porch. I took them to Goodwill this morning.
I didn't see them today. I saw them the other day.
Gone. Hey, we're going to jump into a fake break. When we get back, we're going to share who won last week's douchebag of the week. We have a whole new cattlecade of douchebags for you guys, and we're going to play some more movie madness. Until then, enjoy this little audio tidbit.
The Hideous Creature Show.
Turn camera.
Marks.
102, take one.
With overlap, action please. Action awesome, please.
You just do anything?
No, it's sorry, cut.
Yeah, rolling.
102, take two.
Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. There is a California champagne by Paul Masson, inspired by that same French excellence. It's fermented in the bottle, and like the best French champagne, it's vintage dated.
Cut.
So Paul Masson.
102, take three.
Action, please.
Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. There is a California champagne by Paul Masson, inspired by that same French excellence. It's fermented in the bottle, and like the best French champagne, it's vintage dated. So
cut.
Paul Masson soup.
Welcome back to Fake Break, a very poignant Caribbean wine. Fucking Orson Welles is wasted in that. That's so... Patrick and I think, listened to that like 10 times. And in the video, he's like tapping on the wine, and there's two actors just next to him that are just going... Holy shit, this is Orson Welles.
And he's hammered. And have you heard of the balls? Could you imagine being that director who's like, okay, Orson, cut, like in the middle of a scene? That guy is scared shitless. He's shitting bricks.
Orson Welles doesn't remember anything of that.
No, he doesn't, but I'm sure he got that.
This is a great champagne.
Champagne from California.
Last week we had talked about we played on Fake Break was Orson Welles, the actual real one that they did, the cut that actually made it through. And I thought it'd be funny to, because we didn't do it last week. We said we were going to do it, but we're trying to like have some sort of consistency in the show. We had a very nice fake break.
It was a little bit of time. We talked
like an
about
hour.
Lots of things.
We did. We talked about the Rapture.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Fight Club.
We talked about Fight Club.
First rule, Fight Club.
Don't talk about...
There's a fine California champagne.
Champagne.
Cut, Orson.
That's awesome. It's Orson Welles.
He was hammered.
Oh, he was wasted.
Oh, but if you're Orson Welles, if you made Citizen Kane and Touch of Evil, wouldn't you be wasted
all
the time?
Well, I think he has had so much time on set that it'd be like us going to work drunk, like as a bartender or
right,
whatever.
Because by the time you're ready for your scene, you're...
French champagne. Anyway, he's a good director, but why don't we do a movie madness? He was a good director, but here's another good director.
That was...
I don't know, I'm drunk as hell right now.
Are you?
So, yeah, I'm pretty drunk.
I'm not.
Your old pal failed you, huh, Chuck?
Oh, couldn't rise to the occasion?
Yes,
The spirit was willing.
Yeah, but the flesh was...
Weak.
You know what it is.
Actually, now that I listen to it, I get a lot of my stall tactics from...
this movie?
From one actor in particular.
Okay, I'm
playing. It's not Walter Matthau.
Pain. He wants to talk about pain. I had a gallstone the size of a baseball.
Well, gallstone, yeah. Gallstones are for pussies. When I had the shingles, you see me in here complaining to Phil about it, huh? Did you?
Yeah. Shingles, schmingles. When I had my ulcers, I was farting razor blades.
It's farting razor blades. Mm-hmm. One more.
Looks like he's gonna enter the Holy of Holies, coitus uninterruptus.
Another Burgess.
Yeah, these are.
He was great in that too. Well, you know, so watching an old guy bring up sexual innuendos is always one of my faves.
Yeah,
gets me stoked for the fire.
Okay. That's a great blend.
Wow. So I was thinking that we should maybe talk about who won last week's douchebag of the week.
Sure.
Give me a second. I gotta flip over. All right. So our candidates were the mom that gives her 8-year-old Botox. The second one was the parents that let their little kid play with a dead squirrel, and the last one was the mysterious enema giver.
I feel like throwing up my mouth.
Well, that's what
on
you
the
get.
First two.
That's what you get.
The mysterious animal giver?
Enema giver.
Enema giver.
Yeah. Who do you think won? Who was your money on?
My money was on the Botox.
And you're right. Botox won by 70% of the votes.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Although the squirrel one's creepy.
Squirrel one is creepy. And they all they all got put onto our website, which we're trying to be better at. And then they all went on the Facebook. Because I know that some people are creeped out by Facebook. I've heard from listeners.
Who?
Some listeners are conspiracy theorists, and they don't like to go onto Facebook. They don't have accounts.
Okay.
So I've been putting them on the worst videos of ever.
Well, we could fax them if they give us a number. We could fax it to them.
I think if they're scared of that, if they're scared of Facebook, they're going to be very scared of faxes.
That's true. Good point.
All right. So why don't we go into this week's douchebag of the week for episode 96 of the Hideous Creature Show.
Say hi to your mom for me.
I'm gonna fly her brains out.
I was going fishing.
It sounds like what you were fishing for was sex with a 12-year-old girl.
Paging Dr. Douchebag.
Well, guests of a Lehigh County hotel found a 2-year-old boy wandering around naked and bloodied in the hallway of the hotel, leading to charges against the boy's mother and another mother, who police say left her 2 children in a dirty room filled with marijuana smoke.
This week, again, is more douchebag parents.
They're always there.
I think they're just everywhere right now in the news.
Thanks for calling me a douchebag. Patrick Williams of Portland, Oregon, who is the father of the children. Amanda Perez, the mother of the 2-year-old. And Yerica K. Oh, fuck, this is a name. Maldonado, the mother of a 2-year-old boy and a 6-month-year-old baby, were sharing a room at a Scottish inn. Perez, who is 20.
In Scotland?
No, I think this is, I want to say, it's from Allentown, so Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
Perez, 20, of Allentown, and Maldonado, 19, of Allentown, so 20 and 19-year-old
very
mothers,
young,
were charged with child endangerment and possession of drug paraphernalia. State police were dispatched to the hotel after guests found the boy wandering the second-floor hall without diapers just past midnight.
So naked?
Yep. He had blood on his hands and his face and scratches on his buttocks.
So he was attacked by the cannibal German.
That's
from
true.
Our previous.
Yeah, it was apocalyptic previous Pennsylvania. Has some nice alliteration to it.
This is, by the way, that's horrible. I mean, a kid running around naked
with
bloody.
Blood.
That's not funny.
Doctors later determined that the boy suffered from a skin disorder. They don't specify what that skin disorder was.
He was mulching.
Guests found the boy. They led police to the second floor room with a partially open door. Police approached the room and could smell marijuana smoke from the hallways because stoners do not like closed in spaces.
No, hot box is a farce.
Right, it is. They like to have airflow going in because it gets you higher, like coughing.
Get you stoneder.
Police repeatedly knocked on the door, and when Maldonado answered, She was partially clothed and she was disoriented and allowed them inside. Sure.
She had the kids' diapers on, probably.
Police said the smell of marijuana smoke was so strong in the room and a smoke cloud hovered near the ceiling of the room. Dirty and clean clothes were scattered throughout the room, along with partially eaten food from the on the desk and dresser.
It was a feeding frenzy.
They said that the parents, Perez and Maldonado, were lying on a bare mattress. It's a hotel. Don't they have sheets?
Well, fuck off. I mean, it's your hotel room. How many times have you been in a hotel room that you just don't go, like, fuck everything? I'm going to leave my clothes around.
Well, that's fine.
I always think about...
But you leave the sheet on the bed, man.
Well, sometimes you have to have a fort, Patrick. A teepee.
Then you call
it. That's in the bathroom.
This is the scary part, is the toddler that was in the room had a cigarette burn on his head.
See, that's not funny. By the way, I didn't read this all the way through.
I didn't say it was. They found drug paraphernalia and a partially smoked marijuana cigarette in the room. Couldn't they say joint? Perez told the police she did not realize that her 2-year-old child had wandered off. She said she fell asleep at 9 p.m. and did not know how he got outside 3 hours later.
Yeah, that's bad parenting.
Because the door was open, or you fell asleep and he opened the door?
Right. Well, he's how old? 3?
He's 2, yeah.
So 2, he could reach the door and open it up and just walk out.
2-year-old's pretty good.
And they're you know, walking by then.
Yes, indeed, and they're talking.
See, I thought this would be a little funnier. I didn't read the whole story.
Yeah, it is funny. There's nothing actually not funny about this.
Their names are funny.
Perez and Maltatondo? Whatever, it's like an ABBA song.
You know, Perez and Navatondo, jump on my big burrito.
So they're just some ladies out for a night, smoking some weed and taking sheets off their bed. Why do you take sheets off the bed? Doesn't that freak you out when you watch like an internet video of a guy in a room and he doesn't have any sheets on his bed? It freaks me out. What kind of guy does not put sheets on his bed?
I'm trying to think of why, and I'm thinking that maybe there's been some sort of situation where I've been in a hotel room where the sheets have come off the bed. But usually, like, you want that layer of whatever help you can from the nasty that's been on that bed.
It feels better than the mattress. Even with those, like, weird pillow, like those
fluff
tops.
With that 8-thread count?
God, the 8-thread count. Yeah, you want that cord. Maybe it was burlap. Maybe the sheets were burlap, so they just stripped them off.
It's just straw. It's a bunch of bales of hay that they're sleeping on.
There's no room at the
end. Maybe that super baby just took it. Like, he opened the door and got out there and...
He fashioned it as a cape.
And scratched himself almost to that. That's bad. No, you got to cover that kid in Cameline.
You're going to need a notion.
Dun, 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 baby has notion.
He had a skin disorder. He's bleeding. So he's
scratching. That's bad. I don't want to laugh at this, but I have to, because you are dumb parents and you should be fucking dead.
I agree.
Yeah.
I do.
I agree too. By the way, Patrick is reading these because I got a little tipsy, and when I get tipsy, I can't read the news.
And it's also been one of those days, too, for you.
Yeah.
Just with reading in general.
Reading and spelling, so like an everyday thing?
Well, fine.
All right.
Well, I think that story was kind of funny. I mean, you know, it was a little humorous. I'll move on to the next one, because everyone likes babies, right?
Right. For some reason, everything that I read in the news had to, it pertained to horrible parents. And there's, actually, I'm going to break in here real quick.
Go ahead there.
Last week we had our winner, which was the woman that gave her 8-year-old Botox.
Right.
That ended up being a farce.
What?
The lady made it up.
What?
To get famous.
Can we have a recap of putting her on a douchebag, on a separate addendum ballot for just being a douchebag now?
I think that
are you fucking shitting me?
No, I've read on a couple things. I have not read for sure if it's real or not, but... Yeah, evidently she faked the whole thing to become famous. She's the balloon boy mom of Botox Town.
Oh, my God. That's why she has her... See, and any parent that says that a kid wants to be in pageants and they really like it, no, they don't. You want to be famous, you dumb fucking cunt.
I don't understand, like, why people want to be famous so bad. I mean, everybody and their fucking mom has a podcast now. Just make a podcast.
I don't think they know how to... turn on. They don't know how to figure the on
button. We barely know how to do it, Patrick. Pretty Anybody could do this shit.
But we got a half-assed way of figuring it out. It's called June.
It's called I Don't Have a Life. Patrick,
what's that really was a fake?
Yeah, evidently. I haven't heard yay or nay if it's really a fake, but I've read a couple things on the internet saying that it was supposed to be fake. I don't know if it's her like going, hey, you know, don't take my kid away because the authorities got involved.
Like a Twinkie defense?
Right, the Chewbacca defense. Like
the dude who killed Harvey Milk said it was the Twinkie defense.
Right, right. So I don't know if it's true or not. We'll have to wait for this little thing to evolve.
Either or. What an atrocious bitch.
Yeah,
what
fuck
an atrocious
off.
Fucking cottage cheese vagina cunt that she is.
Wow.
God damn, there's like blue cheese dripping out of there that no man would touch with his tongue.
You.
What a cunt. I hope that she fucking rots in hell. I'm sorry, I need to pause.
Okay.
Okay, I'm done. No, I'm not. No, I'm done.
No, that's a really fucked up thing
cunt.
To do.
What a fucking cunt.
Yeah.
I don't say that word enough for people when they deserve it.
I let it go willy-nilly, but she's a cunt. I think it's fucked up. Like, why would you want to be famous for doing something horrible? I think right now everybody, like, has this, like, thing in the back of their head where they want to be famous for something either bad or good, but... Like, why would you want to be famous for something horrible?
Because she can sit there to the other pageant moms and go, I was on Good Morning America. Were you on Good Morning America? Yeah, you were because you were a stupid fucking slag-ass cottage cheese cunt.
Do you think that if that's true, that everybody has such a small attention span now that we'd forget about it after like a month and a half, that she was the horrible mom that faked putting her kid on Botox?
I think anyone other than you and I would forget about this, or it's not even on their radar.
It's going in. It's going in the spank bank.
It is. This is what you're going to jerk
off. Wait, spank bank? No, the non spank bank.
The crank bank.
It's gone already. Okay. Nothing stays unless it's in the spank.
If she actually made that up to be famous, I mean, she wanted to be on like For the Love of Ray J. Why didn't she just do that?
Right. Or write a Bobby Brown song. Anyway, so we're going to put her on our...
For faking it.
Yeah, a fake douchebag. Patrick, is there another one on there?
I think that she's going to win two in a row. So, yeah, I got another one. An Israeli couple decided not to wait for Facebook users to click on the word like button when they saw photographs of their newborn baby. Instead, they preempted them by naming their baby like... this is a far cry from the...
I hate this already.
Lior and Vardit Alder.
Who names their fucking kid... I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Man.
Who names their fucking kid like?
Apple. Moon Unit.
But those are nouns.
But those are names that people name their children.
I don't like.
Those are nouns. I didn't get that at first. Woo! Went over my head, came back at me.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Lior and Vardit Alder from Tel Aviv decided to name their child like. To me, it is very important to give my children names that are not used anywhere else, at least not in Israel.
Like in a school? When you're calling roll call?
That's Jesus. What the father said. The couple have already given unique names to their other two children. Their one child is called the Vash, which is honey in Hebrew, and pie. They named their child pie. P-I-E.
Pie, like the dessert?
Mm-hmm. The really good cake? When they chose the name like, the sound was at least as important to the meaning to them. Like has, this is their quotes, like has had a nice international ring to it. And he also said,
it doesn't.
And he also said that Facebook had become
Light sounds like something a stall tactic for a valley girl.
That's very, very true. I guess it's 1984 in Israel. You know how like certain fads move, like it happens.
Oh, they
in
go
California,
slower globally, but, right? Like, okay.
In Israel, it's now 1983 or 1984.
Fuck.
Once people gave biblical names, and that was an icon. Then today. This is one of the most famous icons in the world, he said, regarding Facebook. joking that the name could be seen as a modern version of the traditional Jewish name Ahuva, which means beloved. I don't really...
Wait. Like.
Because of Facebook. They named it because of Facebook.
Do you think that they're happier people than us?
I think they make more money than us.
No. What I'm saying is that they're looking at it from a different point of view. We're looking at it more as like a code that you write in a website. And they're looking more of it as a like. They're using it more of a thing that
a stall tactic.
Not a stall tactic. It's something that is like, God.
It's just ridiculous.
I'm stopping right now.
They're trying to explain it by saying like Facebook is the icon of our generation, and the Bible was the icon of Hebrew names like Maya or such as Maya or Nia or other names.
So to them it's a good thing, but to us doesn't it seem stupid?
Right.
Like, God damn it.
Ugh! You just scared your cat.
I can't. I have to stop saying like. We need a like jar. I need a like jar.
Yeah, because the swear fucking jar really fucking worked out well.
Yeah, the swear jar. We tried a like jar.
I think it's like trying to postpone ourselves. And
the thing is that when I hear myself say I am an idiot, but I just.
It's like you want to slap yourself in the face.
Mean word, no good work now. Please talk story.
I totally know what that's like.
This is the dumbest show we've ever done.
No, I think episode 53 beat it.
All right, continue, please. And I will not.
They asked the families, the man and wife's family commented and said they simply didn't believe it. I believe there will be people who will lift an eyebrow, but it's my girl, and that's what's fun about it, said the father. Will 1 week old like her name too?
Is that that's copy, right? That's not your sweet wordage.
No, that's copy. Come on, I could come up with.
I know
you're
wordsmith.
Yeah, I'm so like a fucking wordsmith.
And those are your douchebags of the week for episode 96 of the Hideous Creature Show. Teach your children well. Really, Patrick? Their father's hell. Slowly go by and feed them on your trays. That's all they've got. That's what you know by. Hey, and you can go to our website, which is hideouscreatureshow.squarespace.com, and vote for who you think is the douchebag of the week. And Patrick, I'm wondering if we could wrap up our douchebag of the week for this episode.
Yes, you can. You know what it is.
Oh, I got it.
You do? Do you think our listeners have it too?
I think they know it.
Okay.
Our listeners are super smart.
They are.
Being the lowlife, asswipe, egg sucker, John Gustafson.
Have you seen him?
Man's crazy. Loco. Always hanging out around those kinky strip bars. You know, the ones where the men take their clothes off? That's, of course, if he's taking his medication.
Medication?
Yes, without it, he could be anywhere, wandering around, talking to the trees. Believe me, this man is a menace. He's always drinking, starting fights. Isn't that right?
But have you seen him?
No.
I think perhaps... No.
It's so good.
What is it, June?
And they're in their twilight years.
They are?
No, there's another one. You got another one. Please.
You mount the woman, son. Or else send her out to me, huh?
This movie, I'm assuming it's the first one.
It's the first one.
It's Grumpy Old Men.
Yeah, it's Grumpy Old Men.
Which Walter Matthau,
Jack Lemmon,
and
Burgess Meredith,
the Penguin,
and Anne Margaret,
she still looked good.
Oh, Anne Margaret's still fucking hot.
Yeah, she still looks good.
She's still hot. Oh God.
So we are coming to the end of another Hideous Creature Show. You can contact us via our website, which is hideouscreatureshow.squarespace.com. You can email us at hideouscreatureshow.gmail.com. We have our Facebook also that's running, which is always nice.
It's everyone's. There's been shitloads of activity, and it's been great. Thanks, guys. Yeah.
I always always love to come on there and like see people talking. You can give us a call anytime, day or night, drunk, sober, happy, or sad, at 503-928-7751 on our hotline. And if you guys call, there's no way that we're going to call you back. It's just kind of a message line. So call in, and we've got a bunch banked up. And thank you, everybody that has called in, Georgia. We got your call here. We're just waiting for a good place to put it when we do the show. And you can listen to us via our website, Podbean, Podcast Alley, Zune, and iTunes. If you use iTunes, you guys would be would be wonderful to have you guys give us a 5-star rating and a review. It would help us go up in the ratings and give us some more exposure. If you would like to support the show, you can buy a t-shirt. Same rules apply. We haven't done another run. We're waiting on that. But the best way you can support the show is just to tell a friend. If you have a friend that doesn't have internet, shoot us a line on our email, and I will make a CD or whatever, and I will send it to them.
Who the fuck doesn't have internet?
I don't know. There's people all the fucking over the place that don't have shit. So whatever. We can do... I will make a disc for somebody, like whatever show you think that they would like. Just tell me, I'll burn it onto a disc, and I will mail it to him.
Okay, Father Christmas.
A special thanks on the show goes out to Johnny Fucker again. Thank you so much for letting us use your computer. He was just here. His phone's sitting right there. He's off fixing my moped right now, you little angel. And another one is to Mike Kelly from Eastside Recordings. For letting us use some of his mic stands.
Which has been for like the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's been for 2 years. But I never thought of like telling Mike, thank you. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
We are going to do another show in about 7 days. Until then, everyone, have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Face to face, it's cheek to cheek, one to one, man to man. more. Stop eating cars and eating bars, and now he only eats guitars. Yeah.
Creature Show.
Ah, the French champagne.